Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. New year, new decade. Be future ready with Zurich, the power behind your pension.
Now, this evening, we're focusing on the constituency of Dublin South West. Sitting TDs in Dublin South West, they're not going to sleep easy this week with the five-seater constituency regarded as one of the most volatile in the country. Just one of the TDs victorious in 2011 was still standing after the 2016 election. Three times the candidate who topped the poll in Dublin South West lost their seat next time round. The constituency is politically diverse. It's represented by Sinn Féin's Sean Crowe, Fine Gael's Colm Brophy, Fianna Fáil's John Lahart, Paul Murphy of Rise and Independent Minister Catherine Zappone. We're going to hear from some of the leading contenders in a debate in this constituency a little later on here on Drive Time. But first, our reporter Barry Lenehan is just in the door from Dublin South West. What did you find, Barry?
Yeah, from Rathfarnham to the Red Cow roundabout, Talla to Terenure, right down to the Wicklow border, Dublin South West encompasses a large and diverse area. This is the constituency which was effectively ground zero for the movement against water charges with the Jobstown anti-water protest in November 2014, during which Taoiseach Joan Burton was trapped in her car. The number of households with couples of children and lone parents is also higher than the national average here. And earlier, I visited Firhouse Community College, where Miss Davies' fifth-year politics class have been parsing through the candidates' manifestos and pledges in Dublin South West. Here are some of the students' impressions: Ariana, Tolu, Mona and Joseph, but first the teacher, Miss Davies.
And I got all the students to bring in any of the election pamphlets that have been delivered to their houses, and they've been just basically pulling them apart and looking at different party manifestos. We're going to talk about that and basically have class discussion. This week we plan to have a mini general election within the class.
Obviously, like, there's a huge traffic problem here in Fairhouse with all the houses being built and stuff.
I found it quite hard to actually look at what their plans were. Most of them were proposing the same thing, saying that there's a homelessness problem, but they didn't really address how they were planning on fixing that problem. They did mention stuff, but they're all saying the same thing. None of them differed from what they were mentioning.
What was your overriding impression?
Like Tolu said, they all said the same things: homelessness crisis, climate change, hospital waiting lists, but they didn't really mention a plan. But like, how are you going to say all these things but not like give the people your ideas on how you're going to tackle these problems? It's going to be hard to like look who you're going to vote for.
Having looked at Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, the Green Party, Sinn Féin, who were similar, did you think?
Most of them were similar, but the ones that did stand out to me personally were Paul Murphy, who did say that he was going to put forward free public transport for under 18s. But the problem with that is, how is he going to fund for that? That would result in higher taxes. So he's mentioning a solution, but there's also a ripple effect after that.
Did you find Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in particular were quite similar? Say John Lahart and Colm Brophy.
Yeah, I did find that they were kind of similar. Both of them are trying to do things for students. So like, John Lahart is advocating for free public transport for under 18s. Colm Brophy wants free school books for all junior children.
I find it quite interesting that they do have the same solutions and the same ideas, but they refuse to work with each other. So I think it would be even better for the nation if they did work together.
Lots of talk, say, about Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil and their historic rivalry, and lots of references to Sinn Féin's past. But for younger voters, does that matter, or do they want something completely different?
Obviously, like, all these problems were back then. We should be thinking about the present and the future, and the younger generation isn't going to care about the rivalry between Sinn Féin, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. So I feel like they should kind of like start putting that past and like start thinking more about the future and how they're going to tackle the problems.
They discuss their problems with each other and saying that they're not doing enough on the opposite parties. They should be thinking of the people and how they can benefit the people together. Outcome from that would be tremendous.
And do social issues matter for you?
Even in the candidates that we are seeing today, like on the wall right here, there's not enough diversity. There's not many females. Obviously, Ireland right now is going to be basically a multicultural society, so I feel like we should get the correct representation.
There's only 6 women in this that are female, and out of 16, I feel like that's just a small number. It is a good difference that there are women running for election, and their ideas are great. It's still not meeting the expectation that should be perceived.
Even in my neighbourhood now, there's so many, like, it's such a diverse community, and I've been blessed to be like brought up in such a diverse community, and I feel like the people that are up there who have the power power to like help us. Just like they're not really relating to like the people.
Ms. Dalia, a final quick word with yourself. What sort of engagement do you think there is amongst your pupils and amongst younger people in terms of this election?
People traditionally look that young students don't really care about politics. This is our first every year bringing it into senior cycle. We got 29 candidates, so we have a very full class. And the class are really engaged and really interested in local issues and what affects them.
Really engaged indeed. Firhouse Community College, Barry, they mentioned transport, a key issue in this constituency.
Over 200 people attended a public meeting in the area last week where there are calls for the Metrolink proposals to be extended to the southwest. Pauline Foster and Sean Ward are of the Metro Southwest group.
And I got all the students to bring in any of the...
We see traffic everywhere. We see cars taking kids to school by the dozen because the area is very, very poorly supplied with buses currently. The service is there, but it's very infrequent and it encourages you to just jump into the car instead of waiting a half an hour for a bus.
Gridlock. Gridlock. This area doesn't have any high capacity public transport such as Dart, Lewis or Metro. The result is that only 9% of people here take their trips using public transport. Now, the target in the transport strategy, the 20-year transport strategy, is that by 2035, 23% of us should be taking our trips by public transport. So we're way, way, way far short of that. In fact, transport capacity out here would have to treble in order for us to hit that target.
For you, the only solution is a metro link for this area.
Well, really, it would free up the buses to service a metro. The NTA feel that the area is spread. We maintain that if you utilise the buses well and bring people from the districts to the metro, then it would be very, very feasible to have it. We would also have a connection to the airport.
This has been something that's been mooted for a long time, though.
Absolutely. It's been on the cards since 2001. It was mentioned in the 2001 Platform for Change. Various politicians down the years have sent out literature. Mary Upton in particular, I have one which a resident gave me from 2003 with lovely metro maps. It really is ridiculous.
What of the current Metrolink proposal? You're looking for a feasibility study to be carried out as soon as possible.
The current plan is that a Metrolink will start off in Estuary, which is north of Swords, and it will proceed into the city centre. The proposal is that the tunnel boring machine itself will be left buried underneath Beechwood, which is just south of Ranelagh. Now, we think that that's a very wasteful thing to do, that what should happen is that around St Stephen's Green, the tunnel boring machine should proceed out in this direction. That would be a far more cost-effective way of delivering high-capacity public transport to this area.
And for you as well, we have 73% of journeys taken by car, and the population of this area is going to increase as well.
Population will increase dramatically. At the moment, it's around 130,000 in the catchment area. That will rise towards 200,000 in the near future.
How much would a Metrolink cost?
Well, the gross cost we estimate is about 1.6 billion. However, there are savings involved because if we don't just park the tunnel boring machine under Ranelagh, we can save ourselves about 2 kilometres of unnecessary tunnel. So that brings the cost down to about 1.3 billion in our estimation.
So it is a substantial cost. Some people would say, is it worth it?
Well, you see, there's no alternative. If we require people to get out of their cars and go into public transport, then the public transport capacity has to be available. If it's not available, people will just stick to their cars and pollution will only get worse rather than better.
Do you have faith that after this election, any prospective government would make inroads on this?
I am acutely aware of the amount of money that has to be spent on housing, on so many demands. But I think that we do have to prioritise transport. I probably won't be around to see the benefits of it, but I do think that for the future, we must plan like this. And I see this as the perfect opportunity. With that metro coming over from the north side, it just makes total sense to continue it to the southwest.
Pauline Foster, before that, Sean Ward talking about transport in the constituency. Barry, down to brass tacks, a volatile constituency at the moment. One Sinn Féin, one Fine Gael, one Fianna Fáil, one independent, and Paul Murphy of Rise. Where's the first seat going to go? And the others, indeed, after that.
Sinn Féin's Sean Crowe is expected at the top of the poll and perhaps of a surplus. Indeed, some talk Sinn Féin should have run two candidates here. Crowe did lose a seat in 07, though. For Fine Gael, the sitting TD, Colm Brophy, expected to return. The party narrowly missed out in a second seat 4 years ago. He's joined at the ticket by Ellen O'Malley Dunlop, the former CEO of Dublin Rape Crisis Centre, but expectations for her have been lowered considerably by Fine Gael top brass in recent weeks. Fianna Fáil run three candidates, the incumbent John Lahart, joined by former TD Charlie O'Connor and former Independent Alliance councillor Deirdre O'Donovan. However, a three-candidate strategy has caused Fianna Fáil to their opponents to arch their eyebrows and lick their lips, suggesting the party is scuppering its hopes of almost a certain seat. Francis Noel Duffy of the Green Party is expected to take seat number four. He mustered over 400 votes 4 years ago, but this time is regarded by all as a certain seat. That means one TD will lose their job. Independent Minister Catherine Zappone, she's regarded as the most likely member of the cabinet across the country to lose her seat. She garnered just 6.6% of the vote in 2016 and as a quasi-government candidate may struggle for transfers. Paul Murphy, he too is in trouble despite taking 13.4% in 2016. Who benefits? You have Labour's Kieran Ahern, who postponed his honeymoon to run in this election but perhaps not thought to be in the reckoning. But ultimately, it could be the elimination of independent councillor Mick Duff, who's based in Talla, which may propel Charlie O'Connor back to Leinster House between him, Deirdre Donovan and Paul Murphy. But this will be close.
You're calling it for two Fianna Fáil there, Barry, yeah?
But that's what the local sources are suggesting, but Paul Murphy perhaps would disagree.
All right, and we will have a number of the candidates here in studio a little later on. Barry Lenehan, for now, thank you very much.